This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, as we zoom towards the end of the week, Christmas is coming soon. I can't get the smile off my face. And we're going to have a wonderful show for you tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. We have some things we have to discuss before we get back to history. We're going to talk about good things when it comes to deportations, bad things when it comes to the defense bill. We have foreigners now interrogating our people in the United States Congress. We have children dying from COVID shots. We have a museum heist. You know I'm all over that. We're going to talk about foreign influence operations, everything under the sun. And of course, an hour from now, part three begins of the Rhodesian Bush War. And in case you are wondering, I truly doubt I will be able to finish it tonight. I might not even come close. There's just a lot with, honestly, the real hot war hasn't even kicked off yet. There was just so much to get to. I love that you are loving it, by the way. Oh, that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I'm going to begin. We're going to get to some of this Kristi Noem deportation stuff here in a few minutes, but I'm going to begin possibly freaking you out, but it's not my intention to freak you out. So just stay with me for a second, okay? I had a meeting recently with some suits. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. It was all good. Everything's fine. But they were talking to me about some people they've been leaning on politically, just people who've been giving international advice, international. What's the international situation? Now, China. You've heard of China's one-child policy, right? They were famous for this back in the day when I was a kid. The Chinese government told its people, hey, you're only allowed to have one kid. They were worried about having too many people. They just were worried they weren't going to be able to provide for that many people. Hey, you're only allowed to have one kid. And the stories that were going around when I was a child was families would actually kill their daughters. Because if you could only have one child, they wanted it to be a son who could carry on the family name. It's a terrible, terrible thing. It was all terrible. Look, it's Chinese. It's freaking terrible. It was all awful. Well, that was a bad policy. Not just because it was an evil policy, but because China is facing a situation you might not be aware of and one that you might be surprised about. Population collapse. You would never think about that when it comes to China. For most of my life, they've been the most populated country on the planet. I'm pretty sure India has overtaken them now. All those numbers kind of go back and forth, but they've always been, wow, a billion people, China. Anyway, I'll fast forward through many of the boring details of this conversation, but here's the part that may freak you out. That's not my intention. I'm just passing along information I was given. There are people, more than just one, these national security expert types who believe that China has a small window to do what they want to do. And when I say what they want to do, that is take Taiwan and other locations around the South China Sea. China has massive expansionist dreams, and China believes they have a window. 2027 to 2035, in case you're wondering what the window is, those were the specifics I was given. Doesn't mean it's true. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. This was not meant to freak you out. But there's a headline out today that I thought I should probably pass along that little tidbit of information to keep in the back of your mind. We're deploying carriers. Not just down to the Caribbean, we're deploying them to the Western Pacific. In fact, we are doing drills that aren't necessarily drills. We're doing shows of force flying bombers in formation over in the Western Pacific. This show of force is a direct response to the show of force China is currently doing. You know what else China is currently doing on top of shows of force? They're surrounding places like the Philippines with their Navy. They're building airstrips on islands in the Pacific. I'm not here to tell you we're about to go to war with China, but if it's the year 2028 and a massive world war breaks out between us and China, you would rewind back to everything that's happening right now and say, well, it's obvious that was coming. In the same way, we do this with wars like World War II, with World War I. When it comes to World War II, we look back at everything they were doing, what Hitler was doing, what Stalin was doing, with this and that. And for us, with the benefit of hindsight, of course, for us, we look back and we say, oh my gosh, of course he was going to invade. It's so obvious. That look at everything he was doing. I'm not saying something like that is going to pop off, but I am saying, well, that's the information I have. There's a lot of saber rattling going on in the Western Pacific, and China believes its window to do what it wants to do is almost here. Not a guarantee, not a promise, not a prediction. Just kind of felt the need before we get into everything else on the show to pass that little tidbit along. And part of the reason I'm passing that tidbit along is there is something happening as we speak that is upsetting. If you don't know about it, you're about to be upset, and I can't make it any better for you. So you know that Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, along with some others, they're involved in trying to negotiate an end to the Russia-Ukraine war. You've probably already aware of this. If not, congratulations, now you are aware of this. How involved are they? They're meeting with Putin. They're meeting with Zelensky. They're spending all their time on planes, sitting down, big important meetings where they serve high-end coffee and bagels, right? Do you know who else has joined these meetings? A man by the name of Larry Fink. Does that name sound familiar? Hey, Chris, why don't you go ahead and get on your little computy-putie and pull up a little Larry Fink for us? Please do that, please. Larry Fink, in case you don't know who he is the head of BlackRock. BlackRock is this, you know, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. These are these finance giants who essentially operate as Lord High Commanders of the business sector. If they want cash flowing into your company, it will. If they want your companies choked to death, they can do it. And what kinds of things do they prioritize over there at BlackRock? Well, I don't want you to take it from me. Please, Larry, you're the CEO. What are you doing?
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. 54% of the incoming class are women. We added 4 more points in terms of diverse employment this year. You know, what we are doing internally is, if you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted, okay?
We're doing the same thing.
And so it's just, you have to force behaviors. And if you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team, you're going to be impacted. And that's not recruiting. It is development, as Ken said. And ultimately, it's still going to take time, but I am just as much shocked as Ken is that we have not seen more opportunities, and we're going to have to force change.
$20 trillion in assets. That's the kind of thing he does. Now he sits around the negotiating table trying to bring an end to the Russia-Ukraine war. So let's have a chat we've had to talk before about why so many of these people do the things they do. What really is their angle? Well, honestly, it boils down to something that's quite simple. the public treasury of your town, your state, and most definitely your country is gigantic. When you essentially force all these people to pay a cut of their wages somehow, some way to the government ends up with gigantic quantities of money. So much of what so many people around the world do, they do with the intention of looting the public treasury, of finding a way to gain access to the big government bank vault that has all your hard-earned money in it so they can grab that money and put it in their pockets. Let's talk about looting, shall we? And, I don't know, some interest Larry Fink may have in the Russia-Ukraine negotiations. Before we get to that particular subject, let's get to this. We all need to save money. You already know that switching to Pure Talk is the right thing to do. You know it'll save you money. You know they hire Americans. You know their CEO is a Vietnam veteran. Two tours with Mac V. Sog. Did you know that Pure Talk's message at the end of the year is one of thanks? Thanks. They're thanking you. That's what they wanted me to tell you. Because so many of you have switched to Pure Talk. Pure Talk has given over $500,000 this year to America's Warrior Partnership. America's Warrior Partnership, in case you're wondering, they're out there keeping these vets from killing themselves. Your money at Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, do you know where it ends up? In the pockets of Black Lives Matter communists. The money you give to Pure Talk, you give them less, it gets a veteran back on his feet. Make the switch. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. And I forgot to mention in the open that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask me anything, as we always do on Friday. All 3 hours belong to you. So, looting the treasury. Politicians get elected and they dream of looting the treasury. Their friends, their allies, they dream of looting the treasury. In fact, they donate. They help the politician get elected with the intention of him giving them the keys to the treasury. Why did the Joe Biden family have so many foreign connections, so many different LLCs? Because Joe Biden spent his entire life giving his friends, giving allies access to the treasury. That's the goal, looting. I'm going to play you something. It's unrelated to Russia, Ukraine, but we'll come back to that. This is Dr. Oz. He's, you know, in the government now, but he's talking about Obamacare. Now, there'll be some details in here you may not care about, but what did they do with Obamacare?
The Government Accountability Office just released a shocking interim report on widespread fraud within Obamacare. Let me explain what's going on. During the pandemic, the previous administration took a variety of actions that weakened crucial safeguards. For example, they eliminated common sense income verifications, which are central to making sure people actually qualify for the program. They also expanded the number of people who got completely free health insurance via what are called $0 premium plans, which is a huge problem because if you don't pay anything for a plan, you might forget that you have it, or you may be enrolled in it by an unscrupulous insurance broker without your knowledge. We've uncovered 4.4 million improper enrollments, including roughly 1.6 million individuals who were enrolled in both Medicaid and an Obamacare plan in 2024.
4.4 million fraudulent enrollments. That's a scamming insurance company stealing taxpayer money by fraudulently enrolling somebody in it. How would this work? Well, I bet you're not going to have to dig very deep to find out. The people who run the scamming insurance companies work hand in hand with Democrats Democrats return the favor. Democrats take all the rules off of this Obamacare disaster. Insurance company gets rich, floats some cheddar cheese back to the Democrats who enabled it, looting the Treasury. Now, to Russia-Ukraine. Larry Fink is the soulless communist monster who's worked very, very hard to shove communism into corporate America. He sits now at the negotiating table with Trump's son-in-law, negotiating an end to Russia-Ukraine. Do you think he's there because he likes pierogies? You think he's there so he can get his hands on some choice Russian vodka? Let me go ahead and clue you in. Ukraine is rubble now, courtesy of the dirty Ruskies. Russia has wiped the place out. Larry Fink is going to be there to help rebuild. Well, out of the kindness of his heart? No. You see, you're going to pay for it. You went to work today. The government stole 25 to 35% of your income, at least. And the government is going to take the income they stole from you, and they're going to hand it over to a Wall Street commie billionaire to rebuild a foreign land while you can't make ends meet. To say I am concerned with his presence here would be an understatement. As you are well aware, I am very, very, very lenient on this Trump administration as long as I keep reading headlines like 2.5 illegal aliens out of the U.S. since January. Trump continues that for 4 years. He's going to get a whole lot of praise from me. And therefore, I let a lot of things go. I don't major on them. I don't freak out about them. Even the Epstein stuff was handled terribly. I got all that. Looks bad. Was messaged poorly. But I'm not going to major on it. Keep deporting foreigners. But if we are going to start shoveling taxpayer money into the hands of committed communists who have dedicated their large, large amounts of power to destroying our country, and we're going to pay them to rebuild another foreign land, I'm going to lose my freaking mind on the Trump administration. And I say that because the House of Representatives just passed a defense bill, and would you look at that, $800 million of your money earmarked for Ukraine. I'm tired of watching the American taxpayer be pillaged. I'm tired of voting to drain the swamp, only to have the swamp be filled up faster and faster because we somehow feel obligated to work with snakes like Larry freaking Fink of BlackRock. I'm tired of this crap. I'm going to move on. We'll talk some immigration talk. I can't wait to talk the history of Rhodesia in a half hour. I'm so freaking jaded right now. I'm going to move on. We'll talk some illegal immigration, and then we're going to go do some history stuff, all right? Yeah, jeez. Larry Fink, good grief. By the way, online thievery is really, really bad. It's really the true heists, even though we're going to talk about a heist later, it's not bank robberies anymore. It's not jacking a painting out of a museum. You don't have to do that if you're a criminal now. All they need is your social security number. Why do you think there's always a big data breach at these companies who have your information? Who's breaching it? Why are you breaching it? They're breaching it because when they get a hold of your information, they can empty your bank account. They can take out huge loans in your name. And by the way, you don't even know this until you start getting late notices in the mail. You throw them away because you think they're junk mail. Of course, I would think the same thing. LifeLock will tell you, hey, there's been a breach. Hey, your stuff is out there. Hey, you better stop this. Hey, and if they get you, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. You want to join now? You save up to 40% your first year. LifeLock.com, promo code Jesse, or you can call 1-800-LIFELOCK, promo code Jesse. Terms apply. We'll talk to some illegal immigration next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Yeah.
next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, magnificent Thursday. Do not forget, if you miss any part of the show, if you've missed part one and part two of the Rhodesian Bush War history we're doing, you can go download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So, Stephen Miller, probably my favorite person in the Trump administration, I thought he broke it down quite nicely.
We mask the impact of immigration in every public right. policy issue we discuss. We talk about test scores. Well, if you subtract immigration out of test scores, all of a sudden, our test scores skyrocket. If you subtract right. immigration out of healthcare, all of a sudden, we don't have nearly the size of the healthcare challenges our country faces. If you subtract immigration out of public safety, all of a sudden, we don't have violent crime in so many of our cities. Issue after issue, we talk about these things that just they just happen to us. The schools just suddenly fail. Violent crime right. just suddenly explodes. The deficit just suddenly skyrockets. These are a result of social policy choices that we made through immigration.
Almost every major issue in this country would either be solved entirely or would be a lot better if we would mass deport the illegals that have filled this freaking country up. That's a fact. And that's why Democrats talk like this. This is Dick Durbin.
It is an outrage, and it's causing, of course, fear in the community and a reaction across the state of Illinois of revulsion at what they're doing after all the promises they made.
It is revolting to see what is happening to innocent people who cannot defend themselves and also people who potentially have committed crimes who cannot defend themselves.
Remember that Democrats brought these people here on purpose, and they're fighting tooth and nail to keep all these people here. That's why they talk like this.
The greatest threat to the homeland right now is a Department of Homeland Security that the American people no longer trust, a department actively undermined by its own secretary. This is on you, Secretary Noem.
How did California go from a solidly red state to a solidly blue state where communists get elected statewide? This is how.
California, 27% of the state is foreign-born. It's a majority.
27% of the state is foreign-born. You hear these numbers? This is Joe Borelli. Great dude, by the way. Joe Borelli of New York. This was him on CNN. Listen to this.
47% of the Somali people here in Minnesota were on some type of social welfare program.
Pause for a second. You're hearing Joe, but I want you not just to listen to what he says. I want you to listen to the communist response to what he says.
47% of the Somali people here in Minnesota were on some type of social welfare program. How can we point to that community at large? And I admit, I guarantee you could find successful people.
Do the same thing in Appalachia. Do right. the same thing in rural
correct,
Alabama.
Correct.
100%. I mean, no, but for...
What did you just say? 47% of these foreigners... They're on some sort of public assistance. But for her, what about Appalachia? What about Alabama? Those are American citizens, you unpatriotic witch. But let's skip past all that. I don't know why I'm salty right now. It's that Larry Fink thing. It's got me in a bad mood. Let's skip past all that. There are all kinds of clips you can play, audio from this, audio from that, when it comes to the state of Western civilization, clips that would kind of sum up the state of Western civilization. But honestly, I think this one that I heard today, I think this one for me, it sums it up perfectly. Remember the guy, Shri Indiana Jones, the congressman from Michigan, who we were making fun of yesterday? He filed articles of impeachment for Pete Hegseth, and he looks like a cartoon character. Well, remember that he was, of course, not born here. He was born in India, came over here in the 80s, made a fortune. He's now an elected member of the House of Representatives. Kristi Noem, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, she's obviously over ICE, over Border Patrol. So technically, Kristi Noem is the one in charge of deporting people. She had to go sit today in front of Shri Indiana Jones. And man, if I could sum up the state of Western civilization right now, it would be this clip right here.
I am sick of your lies. The American people are sick of these lies. American people demand truth.
America is very happy that finally they have a president in the White House that gets up every day to keep them safe.
Madam Secretary, your incompetence and your inability to truthfully carry out your duties of Secretary of Homeland Security If you're not fired, will you resign?
Sir, I will consider you're asking me to resign as an endorsement of my work. Thank you very much.
I don't know that I could sum up the state of Western civilization better than a foreigner coming to this country, getting wealthy, then getting himself elected and demanding the resignation of the person put in charge of deporting foreigners. That just so sums up what has freaking happened around here. And really, Larry Fink aside, I'll continue to come back to it. As long as the Trump administration is deporting millions of foreigners out of this country, in general, they're going to have my support. I'm going to nitpick here and I'm going to yell there when I see something wrong, like the Larry Fink thing. But when I see headlines like this, State Department has revoked 85,000 visas since January, they're going to get more of a pass from me. I'll put it that way. I haven't even gotten to the COVID shots yet. I don't even want to right now. I don't even want to. I can't wait. I'm not going to, Chris. I'm not going to. My blood pressure can't do it today. Maybe in hour number three. Let's do some emails because we got to clear out some room. It's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday tomorrow. Jesse, just tell us what you really think is the subject of this one. Recent events with the so-called Maryland dad, that would be the illegal that we're trying to deport but can't deport. It makes me mad, the guy says. Although that's not the language he used. This clown is still here, and now another judge says he has to go free. What's going on here, Jesse? We are all just getting strung out until we don't give a crap. Tell us the truth. Our country is over the cliff done. No. And I would tell you if I thought that. No, no, no. I was on, remember what I told you last night at the open of the show? I've been very, very honest with you. I always will be. I'll tell you exactly what's on my mind and how I'm feeling. I do not believe we're over the cliff and done. I do believe we have peaked, as almost every empire does, around the 200, 250-year mark. That just seems to be the mark where you can't keep climbing anymore. I do believe we are a nation that is on the decline, if I have to put it that way. But I also believe that can be a long, slow process. You know, the Roman Empire was on decline for a very, very, very long time, and generations of Romans still lived a really great life for a long time as the decline was happening. You don't have to be on the rise. You don't have to be at your peak in order for your children and their children and their children to have a wonderful life, a wonderful country with standards, a standard of living, things like that. Look, you bring up this illegal immigrant and the judges and everything else. There's no questions that we have subversive communists in critical positions of power in this country, and they are chopping away at the pillars holding the country up. There's no question about that. I'm not denying that at all. We have a lot of work to do, a lot of work to do in order to make sure that decline is slow. If we can't reverse it, we have to slow it down as much as humanly possible so the day never comes in America where your child doesn't have running water or power, right? We don't want that day to ever get here. So we have a lot of work to do. Just because I say we're on the decline, or I think we're on the decline, that does not mean all is lost. Yep, we have tons of problems. We have a lot of communists who have to be defeated. We have a lot of foreigners we have to get out of the country. We have all kinds of work to do. That does not mean it's all over, okay? All right. You know what? I'll touch on something kind of related to that in a moment. Before I touch on that, I want to touch you with what, Chris? Listen, with some cozy earth bamboo sheets. I mean, I don't want to touch you. I want you to touch cozy earth bamboo sheets. I want you to touch some everywhere pants. They're so stretchy, soft, but they look good. Wear them to church on Sunday. Wear them to the football game afterwards. Cozy earth has all this stuff that's just, I mean, that's what they call it at cozy earth. It's just comfortable. You want to be draped in as much cozy earth stuff as you possibly can all day long. And let's not forget about the robes, the towels. Those are the only towels we use now. Cozy earth towels. And do not forget, if you order before December 12th, guaranteed Christmas delivery. You want to save a bunch of money? CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse gets you up to 40% off. It's your one-stop shop, man, women, doesn't matter, for Christmas. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday, and you can put me in, coach, for some more history about 10 minutes from now. Don't shake your head, Chris. 10 minutes from now, part three of the history of Rhodesia, the Rhodesian Bush War, begins. I am glad you have enjoyed it. Do not forget that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in. They're already piling up. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We will have a good time. So there's a story. Free Beacon has the story, but former CNN producer now works as a Qatar Foundation foreign agent. Now, the details of this, maybe you're into, maybe you're not. I don't care. It's not important. I wanted to remind you of something else, something that most definitely is taking place, something that has always taken place, but it's taking place now. Demoralization operations when it comes to intelligence, spying, propaganda. Hey, how might this have worked in the past? If I'm Alexander the Great and I want to take this Persian city, I'm busy wiping out the Achaemenid Persian Empire, and I really want to take this city. Well, I want knowledge of the city. I want to politically create divisions in the city if I can. And I really want the people in that city to maybe not feel that great about life in the city. Maybe they don't like their standard of living. Maybe they feel like they should have more cattle, better food. Maybe they're angry with the city leadership. So I can help make that happen. How do I do this? Well, I send agents into the city. Of course, not advertising who they are. I send agents into the city. They learn the city. They learn the politics. And this will actually be applicable to next hour's history. They learn about some issues that might already be existing. Meaning, hey, the western side of town, their sanitary conditions aren't great. The town isn't draining properly, and they've got improper sanitary conditions. My agents, after they spend some time in that town, they learn that this is a problem on the western side of town. And what do? They take what may be a tiny issue, a small little crack, and they get in there and they find a way to expand that crack and create a real problem. Maybe they organize groups of some kind. Hey, we're tired of the poop in the streets. No more poop. The king doesn't have any poop. Soon, with enough time, with enough effort, the town begins to go at each other. And people in the town, they begin to think the town kind of sucks. Maybe this place isn't great anyway. Well, who does that benefit? That benefits Alexander the Great when he shows up outside the walls of the city with his army. It only benefits him to have the people in the town at each other's throat and demoralized about the town itself. How long will they hold out if they hate the place? This is happening now too. Don't forget about this. Don't forget about the fact that foreign actors, foreign governments, foreign organizations, and domestic ones, but foreign organizations, they are all over social media. They have podcasts, by the way. You can listen to them. People paid by foreign organizations. And a lot of what they're paid to do is demoralize the population. Everything is hopeless. We can't win. We'll never win. The country's over. Your standard of living is totally destroyed. There are a million different ways this can happen. Racially this and racially that. Race communism's a big one. You see that all over the place. A big one. In fact, That also is going to be part of our Rhodesian Bush war history. We're probably going to get to, hopefully I'll get to that part of it next hour, but exploiting cracks in a society to destroy a society or at least push it towards destruction is as old as time itself. Be aware that that exists, okay? Just be aware that exists. Jesse, my wife made me go to a Christmas party last night that is also a fundraiser for our local state senator. I got so tired of being there, and I told my wife we needed to go. She said, okay. Okay, I need to say goodbye to everyone. At that point, I grabbed my coat, scoped the exit, and walked out without saying a word to anyone. Merry Christmas. I love the show. Says I can say his name. His name is David. I wanted to read this to you and remind you that this is the season for parties. There are going to be office parties and Christmas parties, neighborhood parties, and that the people are gathering together, and that is wonderful. Go gather with people. But if you're like me, the second you gather with people, your personality energy meter is going to start going down, down, down. There is a time limit on how long I'm going to be at a gathering with a lot of people talking to me about stupid, boring stuff I don't care about. When it's time for you to go, you don't have to make a thing of it. You don't have to announce it. You don't have to tell a single solitary soul. If you do, if you let the cat out of the bag to one person, well, I gotta tell Susie, one person, you will be there an extra 15 to 20 minutes, and then your personality energy meter is on E, dangerously low. But if you just slip out the door without saying a word, you saved yourself 15 to 20 minutes of energy. Not only that, you saved them the energy of having to pretend to care that you're leaving. Because you know they do what, Chris? You know people do that, especially women. Ah, you're leaving already? I've never been. What, Chris? What? Chris said not everyone's as cynical as me. Chris, they're not that bummed you're leaving. All right, they may be a little bummed you're leaving, but not near as much as the elevated voice would indicate. Okay, it's not that big of a deal. Susie, we live across the street. We're not going to the grave tomorrow. I promise we'll see each other again when we take the trash out. Can we tone down the drama on it a little bit? Anyway, the Irish goodbye. 'Tis the season to employ it. It's time for part 3 of the history of Rhodesia. Next.